Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The Die Hard Eagles podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. From boosted same-game parlays to live in-game odds, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today, bet 100 and get 100 at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET. Safe restrictions apply. We're also brought to you by the SGPN merch store. Head over to store.sportsgamblingpodcast.com and use promo code MADNESS for 10% off of orders of $40 or more. Welcome, everyone, to the Die Hard Eagles podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. I'm your host, Sean, stacking the money green with my fellow diehards, Rob and Justin. Offseason is officially here. Still mourning the Eagles loss, but hey, a lot of news to get to, including probably the biggest news so far in the offseason. The Eagles have now hired Sean Desai as their new defensive coordinator. He comes over on the Seattle Seahawks, where he was defensive assistant and associate head coach. Before that, in 2021, he was the Bears DC and then the safety coach for the Bears. You know, was on the Bears for a while before that, Boston College. Rob, what's your take here of Sean Desai, new defensive coordinator?
You know, great question. I've tried to read everything I could, but it doesn't seem like there's a ton out there on him. I mean, I think clearly he's been on teams where there probably was a lack of talent from a defensive perspective. Now, he was defensive coordinator for the Bears, you know, like you said, and I think that was the year when Robert Quinn had like 18 sacks or whatever the number was. So, if I'm right there, his defense obviously got some pressure, and it seems like he uses kind of different looks up front to generate that pressure. You know, in Seattle, you guys probably watch Seattle a lot more than me being on the East Coast, but I don't think their defense was anything good. I've seen a couple people reference, well, he was kind of in charge more of the secondary, and their secondary kind of outperformed from what I read. But at the same time, Pete Carroll's really the architect of that defense. So who knows, maybe there was a difference in philosophy between the two. So I don't know. It's exciting, I guess, just to have someone new, for me,
not Jonathan Gannon.
Yeah. Look, I think with the recent hirings by, you know, Howie, Laurie, and really Nick, I think you got to give them the benefit of the doubt. Clearly they thought this guy was the most qualified. You know, I still believe if this had happened earlier, the opening, we would have Fangio as our defensive coordinator. But, you know, it is what it is. So let's see. Hopefully he adjusts, especially before half. And yeah, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Bears defense in 2021 was pretty solid. And again, the Seattle defense, it was tough to judge them because they were really didn't have a ton of talent on the defensive side, and they kind of got better there those last four games, helping them get into the playoffs. They had a couple moments where they were good, and then, you know, middle of the season they were horrible. But How much does that decide coaching as associate head coach and defensive assistant? We'll never know. But Justin, what's your take on Desai here?
Yeah, I mean, from what I'm looking into, it seems like he was decent, especially with the Bears 2021. I think I saw they had the third best pass defense that season in 2021, considering, which is pretty big, considering, you know, their offense hasn't been great either. So it's not like the offense was helping them out much with, you know, taking control of the clock and things like that. One thing you got to consider, though, and I mean, the same for Fangio is you know, whether we got Fangio or, you know, now we have Desai, I mean, they're running with a similar concept of what Gannon runs. And I guess with what the majority of the defensive coaches now run in the league. So I don't think you're going to see a ton of change. I don't know if that necessarily needed to happen other than potential adjustments, like Rob was pointing out, maybe with mixing up the line a little bit more, a few more stunts or blitzes due to the talent that we have, which is kind of nice, actually. I will say, though, I mean, I know everybody wanted Gannon out, but let's give Desai, you know, two seasons before we start to push him out. I am concerned.
Come on, Justin. Two seasons.
I am concerned that
Rob,
you know,
he's not going to make it two series if Rob has his finger on the button.
This is another young defensive coordinator. I mean, we got to let him grow a little bit and learn. I mean, we can't write him off immediately. I am scared, though, you know, week six, yeah, there's going to be a couple blunders maybe on the defensive side or a long drive that we give up and people are going to be calling for his head. So I'm just saying, let's give him a season. Like, can we give him a season?
I don't know. A season sounds super generous. What has he done to earn this season? On the other side, Brian Johnson, a former Eagles quarterback coach, he's upgraded to offensive coordinator. This seemed super obvious. I mean, and I don't even feel like they interviewed a ton of other guys because it just seemed like Brian Johnson. I mean, he's done so much with Jalen Hurts, improving his game, and has a record, you know, a relationship with Jalen Hurts. That's kind of why they brought him in to begin with. And now he's moving to OC. It seemed like a slam dunk. Justin, you think we missed out by not sniffing around and maybe interviewing outside of the coaching pool?
I guess I would understand why we might sniff around, but I do like Brian Johnson being in the mix here. First and foremost, due to the fact that he brings some continuity from last season. I mean, if you're losing your OC and your defensive coordinator, I mean, it's good to bring a guy up, at least one of them. We're losing Wilson on the defensive side of the ball there. We didn't promote him, so I think it's good to have Johnson there, especially since, I mean, he's got that long relationship with Hurts. He's been there since he was young. He also has some offensive coordinator experience at Temple and Florida as well. So put all that together, I think it's actually a good match, and I think he was the proper hire for the time.
Rob, you worried that Brian Johnson, no play calling experience, and Shane Steichen was the one calling plays, of course, what was it, year before last, Sirianni started out his first year calling plays and then kind of bailed and gave it to Steichen. It worked out, but are you worried that Brian Johnson hasn't called plays?
No. You know, he's been on the staff, so obviously he's seen how things – you know, have operated. He's worked closely with Hurts as the QB coach. From everything you read, he's a great up and coming coach. Obviously, him and Hurts have such a great relationship. So, I mean, look, anything has some learning curve calling plays, but if it certainly seems like he's ready to step in. And I know, you know, I think Steichen had very positive things to say about him too. And in one of his press conferences, I'm pretty sure I remember that. So no, I think it was a good pick. And I think on offense, really, the continuity is important, right? We don't want a new system.
No,
our offense carried us all year. It was working. Hurts had a career year. He's going to get paid. You know, the defense, not so much, as I was saying. I mean, they had good ups and downs. You know, the other thing I just want to note with coaches, it's good to promote from within when you think you have the right candidate, but you can't – I know – some people are upset that Wilson didn't get the job on defense, but clearly the team felt they needed to go with an outside hire. And, You know, I think that was one of the downfalls ultimately with Doug, was he didn't want to go to the outside and bring in talent. He wanted to just, you know, promote the internal candidates. And I think, you know, ultimately that might have been part of his downfall in Philly. Instead of bringing in the fresh looks, he was sticking with guys that maybe weren't the best. So I get the loyalty, but I also applaud the staff for doing a full search and being willing to hire someone from the outside on both sides.
Yeah, he was ready to go down with the ship with Press Taylor. Although, to his credit, Press Taylor and the Jags, the Jags offense, seemingly, obviously, it's so tough to grade the Jags and their coaching because Urban Meyer was such a disaster. So, I don't know. We'll see how year two with Doug P and Press Taylor as OC. Yeah, so they passed over Wilson on the defensive side. Speaking of the defensive side, though, there was a bit of some drama. CJGJ, our boy, tweeting out that, you know, essentially that Gannon wasn't putting them in the right position for the Super Bowl. Now, there's two parts here. One, I think everyone kind of liked that because I think certainly there was some agreement. But as a player, I don't know, publicly throwing your coach under the bus, bad look. Justin, you're a little less biased than Rob here. What's your take on CJGJ going after Gannon on Twitter?
I mean, I guess you could. I didn't understand it because if you watch the clip with Gannon, I mean, he said that. Isn't that what he said, is the fact that he felt like he didn't put them in a position to succeed? So he did kind of own it in there. And then I guess, CJGJ felt like he had to throw something on there. Now, I don't know if he misunderstood or misheard and he threw the tweet out there. He obviously has since deleted it. In this day and age, I don't make too much of that stuff. The players are constantly tweeting stuff and then deleting it. Would I have preferred him stay quiet? Yeah, it kind of is what it is. Obviously, I would have, but he put it out there. He's a young guy. He's talkative. He likes to chirp. I have no issue with it. Even with us potentially bringing him back in free agency, these guys do it all the time. I'll let him have a pass. So there you go.
Rob,
I'm not going to hold it against him, but I don't love it. Look, we lost. We know we lost. We don't want to be like, you know, the 49ers after their loss, making excuses here and there and, move on. And everyone knows Gannon didn't call a great game. It doesn't need to be said. And, you know, I never like to see a player publicly going after a coach.
Yeah, although it was a little funny seeing it and then seeing him delete it.
I will say, I think...
Yeah. Well, obviously, we all agreed with it.
I like Rob's comment now because I think in the thread, Rob was like, loser.
It's not a great... Well, and also Gannon, he like didn't really answer questions after the Super Bowl and really kind of blew by it. So I think that was a little bit frustrating.
Yeah, I mean, I will give Gannon credit in his when he did, like Justin said, in his press conference, I think later with the Cardinals, he did own it. He did say he learned a lot from it, and I think he knows he could have done a better job. So look, it is what it is. He was a young coach, and clearly, I think Andy Reid outcoached him from an offensive perspective. So. He did own it, like Justin said. I don't think he deflected blame in any means.
I think it is interesting, too. Just one thing I noticed from the Philly Inquirer is after the Super Bowl, when they thought Gannon was potentially going to stay, they said about how he didn't answer questions after the game, but neither did Steichen, and Schwartz didn't answer questions after their Super Bowl last time either. So it's nothing unordinary. But then after he left, within an hour, they had a comment piece in the Philly Inquirer about how Gannon didn't talk to reporters after the game. And they just started immediately throwing him under. And I was like, wait a second. I had to go back and look for the old article and make sure I didn't misread.
Yeah, they probably got funny. Some talking points of like, hey, come on, give him a break, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, all right, fine. And then he's leaving. All right, now it's really time to back the bus over him. What do you make of this AJ Brown versus Juju beef we're seeing? Juju is like putting out TikToks, somehow making fun of AJ Brown. I watched the sketch. It's like some really bad comedy sketch on TikTok, and AJ Brown just was like went off on him, and he's like, keep your name out of my mouth. I do like the fact that it's receivers, like they don't actually, they're not even on the field at the same time and they're really going at it. AJ Brown is not a dude I would mess with.
No, neither would I. I will say though, this, if there's one thing out of all of this that makes me feel old, it's this little feud between them. I think 10 years ago, I would be completely into this, maybe even five, but now I don't know. I can't even keep up. And I'm not even going to lie. I don't 100% understand it other than these guys are just beefing back and forth on Twitter.
Taking a quick break to talk about WinBet. Bet big, win bigger. You can already bet on the Eagles to win the Super Bowl in 2023, Super Bowl 58. A bunch of futures out already, which is always fun to get down on over at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET. College basketball is here. March Madness, covering all of that over on the Sports Gambling Podcast. If you haven't been getting down on our picks, what are you doing? You're missing out. Conference tournament preview season is here. Plus, you got the NBA Gambling Podcast guys giving you out tons of winners over there. NHL Gambling Podcast, so many ways to win. All you gotta do is go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/winbet. That's WYNNBET. Offer subject to change, terms and conditions at winbet.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WinBet is available. If you're someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. And we're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Oh man, they are your, it's Underdog is your home for off-season NFL best ball drafts. They also got you covered with a ton of daily games, including NBA, NHL, and the PGA. Underdog Fantasy, also a great way to get down on your favorite player props if they're not available in your state. Again, so many ways to win. All you got to do is go to underdogfantasy.com. Use promo code SGPN for a 100% deposit bonus up to $100. That's underdogfantasy.com, promo code SGPN.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Rob, you got any hot takes on the beef?
No, I think it's all nonsense. I wish they would just stop, honestly. I think it's, you know, I don't know. It's all nonsense.
What's not nonsense? We got to find a backup quarterback, most likely. Gardner Minshew, who knows? He's a free agent, if he'll sign. I saw this name pop up that I kind of liked as a backup quarterback option, Jacoby Brissett. Reasons why, you know, the Colt connection obviously there. And also Jacoby Brissett is pretty good at QB sneaks, which is a big part of our offense. He's a veteran, easy to work with. He's not going, you don't have to worry about like a quarterback controversy. You can probably sign him at a decent rate. So I saw Jacoby Brissett's name floated out there. Kind of interesting. What about you, Rob? Any takes on potential backup quarterbacks?
No, you know, I think I'm willing to roll the dice a little bit on the backup quarterback, and I think we need to either draft someone or get someone that's not crazy expensive. Obviously, we have a lot of guys to sign. We're going to be paying Hurts a lot of money. I just don't think we have the luxury this year to afford a, you know, relatively more expensive veteran quarterback. I mean, when we had Nick, and I know everyone's going to say, well, look at the importance of Nick Foles. You know, we won a Super Bowl with him, but, you know, we also had the luxury that year of having Carson on a rookie deal. So, you know, that gives you the flexibility to maybe spend more on a very veteran backup. I don't think we have that luxury anymore. So, you know, I'm not saying we need to have a, you know, seventh round rookie in there or anything, but I don't think we can be affording, you know, a $10, $12 million backup. Like we may have had with, you know, I don't know what Minshew was making, but probably up somewhere up near 10 million, 8 million.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, and Jacoby Brissett, you're right. Probably because he has a history of starting. He's probably not going to be super cheap, at least by backup quarterback standards. Justin, would you draft a quarterback to make him Hurts' backup? And if so, would you draft one in the second round or is that too crazy? What round would you consider drafting a backup quarterback?
No, I'm not drafting a guy in the second round, especially since we don't have a ton of late picks. Maybe fourth or later, if we're trading down and getting more picks with that first one, potentially. But I don't know. It's so odd to say because, hey, we got Hurts out of that second round draft pick. And at the time we went crazy, and I feel like I would almost go crazy again, even though it's worked out the way that it has. I just don't see why we would. We don't necessarily have that luxury, as Rob stated. I think it's good maybe try and take a flyer on a guy later on, if we potentially have the picks there. But as of right now, no. Two guys I would be interested in would be potentially going after Mariota. Mm. I know he's out there at the moment. And I think you could easily get him on a cheap deal, definitely cheaper than Brissett, I would say. And then I can't think of the other guy I'm thinking of right now. Nobody too flashy. Maybe it was Andy Dalton or somebody like that. Just to have a decent backup, maybe give you a chance to win a couple games, maybe two out of four if Hurts ends up getting injured. By no means do I think they could make a playoff run, though, like Foles did for us back in 2017.
Yeah, I think one thing the team may want to consider is, you know, whatever QB that we do, you know, whether draft or sign as a backup, I'd like to see a guy that can kind of play within the style of our offense with Hurts. I mean, look, obviously no one's going to be as good as Hurts as a backup, and Hurts rare breed untamed is tough to fill his shoes. But, you know, like this past year we had, you know, Minshew, and I feel like the style of offense with Hurts was very different than the style of offense you had to run with Minshew. So we almost had to like change gears and redesign things for their strengths. And obviously there's going to be some strengths to each quarterback, but I'd like to see us bring in a guy as a backup that maybe fits the Hurts mold of offense a little bit better than having, you know, like an Andy Dalton, for example. You know, he would be, I think, such a different fit to the offense that I'd rather take a flyer on a guy that we could maybe run more of those options with and fit in a little more what we do with Hurts.
Yeah, and maybe that guy is Mariota, to Justin's point. You could maybe call him like a poor Hurts there. There is some news in the QB market, though. Geno Smith just signed right before we taped this. Derek Carr signed. I mean, Derek Carr signed for $100 million guaranteed, averaging $37.5 million a year. Again, I think, you know, Justin and I, when we locked up Hurts at $30 million a year, that was a steal. Now that Derek Carr's getting 37.5, I just don't think there's any way. It's got to be 200 for Hurts, or I think probably like $150 million guaranteed at least, and then $50 million a year. I mean, Justin, do you see any way that Hurts signs for less than $50 million a year right now?
No, I don't think he does. And I think the way you kind of get around that is I think he most likely is getting a six, potentially a 7-year deal. That's just a guess. I haven't really listened to much lately since the Super Bowl, but I think that helps Howie spread it out a little bit more potentially. And obviously gives you the benefit of, hey, if he's getting paid 50 plus or 50 million a year, at least 6-7 years down the road, it's not hitting the cap nearly as much. So that would just be a guess of mine. Hopefully he'd stay healthy for the remainder of it. But I think you'll see that too with if you like a guy and you think he's going to be with your team, you might as well go in for the long haul and hope he can stay healthy at this point, because you got to pay up for these quarterbacks at this point.
Yeah, I mean, Rob, you were hesitant to pull the trigger on $30 million. I guess you're regretting it now, right?
Yeah, I guess so. I think Hurts is probably looking at like a 5-year deal. I think it is probably going to be right around $50 million, possibly a shade under $50 million, like 48, 49.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy.
But it's all in the guaranteed. I mean, I don't see it going 6 to 7 years. It's possible, but it's also, you know, sometimes these teams get cute with the number of years, and the last year or two are essentially just dummy years so they can spread the cap hit, but they're not, you know, they're not ever intended to be real years of a contract. So is something like that possible? I guess, you know, and I think that goes two ways. I guess it's a risk for the Eagles to go 6 to 7 real years, but also for Hurts, you know, if you bet on yourself and you do like a 5-year deal or something, you know, Hurts is, what is he, like 24 or?
Yeah.
He's 24. He's going to hit free agency again at age 29 in his prime. The salary cap goes up pretty much every single year. it would give him at least one more opportunity to really cash in, you know, before arguably he starts to hit the backside of his career. So I kind of see something around a 5-year deal. The real question is what's going to be the guarantee and what's going to be the structure. I think, Sean, probably 150 is probably the floor for a guarantee.
Yeah, you're right.
I could see it somewhere more in the range of, you know, 175 to 200. I mean, Watson was 250. I don't see it going
that's
that
still
high.
Crazy.
Yeah, he's getting paid for sure.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think the more we talk about it, I think he's probably getting $200 million guaranteed at least. And you're right. They put those dummy years on. Whatever it is, I think he's going to want to be able to negotiate another contract before he turns 30. That will give him a really strong bargaining position. So, yeah, it's going to be all in on Hurts. Rare breed, untamed. Couldn't be more excited about it. Of course, Daniel Jones making news. Supposedly, there's rumors now that he was seeking more than $45 million a year. I don't know. I mean, there's just so much to pay Daniel Jones that kind of money. To me, is still insane. I get he had his best year, but he had his best year with Brian Daboll. Like, to me, you pay Brian Daboll and then you draft a quarterback to maybe take over to really give Daniel Jones a sweat. I mean, I was talking to Kramer on Sports Gambling Podcast, and he was saying there's a world where maybe they do that, not the franchise tag, but like the exclusive tag, where basically they sign it, but that other teams can go out and match it. And then, you know, there's some pick compensation there. I wouldn't be shocked if the New York Giants draft a quarterback in the first round. I'm going to make that bold prediction. But what about you, Justin? What do you make of our good buddy Danny Dimes?
I mean, I think we should just make sure. I mean, I hope the Giants pay him. I mean, he's an amazing quarterback. He's a stud. Give that man what he wants. I think he should, you know, maybe I think the agency he's with now is calling for $45 million. The last agency, I think, was lowballing him, obviously. I don't think this agency is actually asking enough for him. He should fire them and get one that's going to get him 50 plus. I mean, the guy deserves to get paid. He showed so much growth in one season, you know, year four. Why not year five and get this guy the money that he deserves?
Hopefully, Joe. Yeah,
the crazy thing, and I know that I've seen all kinds of things with the amounts that he's seeking. I mean, some say 45, some say no, that's not true. It was never that much. So who knows? But I mean, I have to believe he's probably getting right around or a little over 40 ultimately. You know, the Giants are in a tough spot because, one, they could have just exercised his option last year and they wouldn't be on a time crunch this year. But now they're trying to negotiate both Saquon and Dimes at the same time, only have one franchise tag, assuming they want to use it. So, you know, I would assume they want to try to sign one of them and franchise the other one. Unless they're willing to let them walk. So, but I mean, I think if they had just, exercised the option last year, and I could be wrong on this number, but I think it was around $23 million or something like that for this next season. So they definitely made a blunder there in not exercising that option because it would have given them a lot more time and a lot less urgency to work out a deal.
Do you think Daniel Jones plays on the franchise tag if he's franchised? Now, I think when push comes to shove, ultimately they do play because you kind of screw yourself if you truly, truly hold out. But definitely, you see quarterbacks where they do that thing where they try and hold out on the franchise tag, demand a trade. That would be great if we saw Daniel Jones demand a trade. I guess I would be upset because maybe the Giants would actually trade him and they would be in a better spot, but If you had to predict, Justin, where does this end up? What happens?
I think they end up signing him, as Rob said. I think the amount is probably around 40-ish million is that he gets, and I think they pay him. Giants are a team; they seem to have blunders, but at the same time, they always try to keep things, you know, in order in the end. So I think they do end up signing him, making the wrong choice, and have him for years to come on a $40 plus million deal. Maybe that's just me hoping too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know. It does seem like they'll get something worked out, but
I don't think he demands a trade. I think if he gets tagged, he does play on it, because I find it hard to believe that the market for Jones for a trade and all these other teams to pay him all this money is that hot. I mean, I don't know. If he hits the market, do you see him getting much more than like a Derek Carr? I really don't. But I mean, I guess he's younger. He has maybe more upside and, you know, with what Dable brought out of him. But I don't think it's would be some crazy market. So I think he would play on the tag and he'd essentially have a prove it year.
Yeah, we're biased, obviously, because we're not Giants fans, but I would take Carr over Dimes, honestly. And maybe you guys would disagree, but Carr just got an average of $37.5 million a year, right? So he's sub $40 million. I don't see how Dimes could go anywhere else and get a better deal than what the Giants are potentially offering him. The only thing I think that kind of works out in his favor, if he would, is the fact that I think that the league is just desperate for any QB talent right now, with Rodgers getting older, Wilson, you know, kind of fading, Brady out of the league. I mean, there's not a whole lot of really good QBs. So Dimes at this point actually looks average, maybe even a little above, but that's just because there's not a ton of QB talent out there. I mean, Cousins looks amazing compared to him, but Cousins in the league, I think you could say, is a top eight quarterback now easily, if you want to like go down the list, which is kind of crazy to say.
Yeah. And the problem for the Giants, you know, they really don't have a choice, right? Because I mean, who are they realistically going to draft this year? Their pick isn't low enough. I mean, what's their pick? Probably like mid-20s.
Yeah.
Their pick's not low enough to really get one of the blue chip talents. Not that you can't find someone else, but there's not going to be some obvious pick at 25. You know, they're already I don't want to say in a rebuild mold, but they certainly need some more players. So I don't think they want to give up the capital to trade up from 25 to where they would get someone. So, I mean, really, I think their only option is to sign him.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they just got to sign him. And to your point, Justin, I would take Derek Carr, but I could see if you're like signing a contract for the long term where you could talk yourself into Danny Dimes because he's younger. Capping things off here, it is always fun to dive around, look at the, be in the off season, check out the other team subreddits. I was looking around the Commanders subreddit. I feel like, I don't know, they're just not high on the trash talk priority, because it's Dallas sucks, and then Giants, you know, they're closer to Philly, and there's some bleed over there. Commanders, I almost kind of forget they're in the division, which is arguably the biggest insult. I came across this Reddit post for the Commanders. Someone said, anyone else still waiting on those custom jerseys we were promised for renewing our season tickets for 2022? It's just great that the guy says, I'm pretty annoyed, was hoping to have my jersey by now. It is funny that like that's the biggest news going on in the Commanders world, is just like, who is going to buy this team? Can we please get rid of our owner? And it's just funny, like they got the F- on the NFLPA player grades, which in their defense, F- really isn't a grade. But yeah, it was just awesome to see what a disaster they are as a franchise.
Yeah, as every other team is like looking at, you know, the next young talent to potentially come in the team, they just keep hoping they draft a great owner. Oh, man. Amazing. One thing I saw, and I don't know if you guys saw this, but just that Jerry Jones out talking about Dak, that he could be Brady-like in his ability to continue to grow. I mean, come on. wasn't he just throwing him under the bus after that playoff game?
Oh yeah, and then there's
that is so great.
Then there's rumors of like the quarterbacks are interested in. I mean, Brady made it into a Super Bowl, or won a Super Bowl in his second season. So I don't think we can start comparing Dak to Brady until he gets to an NFC Championship game, right?
Yeah, I also love that they tagged Pollard today. They still want to sign Zeke. Just keep pumping money into that running back position.
And Tony Pollard, who kind of looked good there, certainly better than Zeke, but then he had that horrific injury to end the season. Like, you're spending a lot of money on running back. And then there was, I don't know how this didn't make the rundown initially, but when they were getting rid of their offensive coordinator, Mike McCarthy was saying his big issue with him was they didn't see eye to eye, that he was only focused on scoring points.
Oh yeah, that's a great one.
It was such a great line. McCarthy,
he wanted to rest his defense.
Yeah, but come on, you're gonna get mad at your offensive coordinator for trying to score all the time? Yeah, he didn't run the ball enough. It's like, do you watch the NFL? Have you seen where things are going? Like, it's just clearly a guy trying to save his job, where it's like old man Jerry wants more running back carries, and he's just like, all right, I better walk the company line and say we got more running back action coming.
Oh, man, just old school football.
Classic. Classic. All right. Hey, that'll do it for the podcast. Make sure you subscribe to the Die Hard Eagles podcast. Check us out on Twitter at DieHardEagles52. And yeah, a bunch of cool stuff in the merch store as well. store.sportsgamblingpodcast.com. We'll be back with some draft stuff, trade rumors heating up, tons of stuff to get to here in the offseason. For the Die Hard Eagles podcast, I'm Sean, stacking the money green. For Rob, for Justin, go Birds!
Go Birds! Birds.